creator of your older sister's favorite 80s movies and the Chris Columbus that didn't kill any Indians, comes the Christmas classic that cable channels have rerun every holiday season for the last 20 years. 20? God, that makes me feel old. Home Alone. Deck the halls and gather round for a family film about standing your ground.
Hello.
In one of the most violent kids movies ever made, that's one part Ferris Bueller and one part Saw. This Christmas, travel to the all-white part of Chicago to meet the McAllisters, the worst family ever.
Kevin, you're such a disease.
Rejoice in the Christmas spirit as they gang up on this 8-year-old boy.
Don't you know how to knock phlegm wad?
You're completely helpless.
Look what you did, you little jerk.
Everyone in this family hates me.
Then stick him in the attic and leave the country.
What else could we be forgetting?
Mom?
Witness years of neglect and abuse take their toll on the small child as he shows all the signs of becoming a sociopath, like manipulation.
Go. I'm sorry.
Talking to himself.
I can't seem to find my toothbrush, so I'll pick one up when I go out today.
And trapping two nonviolent criminals inside a sadistic world of torture from which there is no escape. But gosh darn it, if he isn't just the cutest little thing. Meet the Wet Bandits. There's Marv, who sounds like he's the narrator from The Wonder Years.
Kids are scared of the dark.
And Harry, who sounds like Joe Pesci trying not to curse in a PG movie. Watch as these bumbling idiots only rob in broad daylight, wear fingerless gloves during a burglary, and are irrationally obsessed with one house.
That's the one, Marvin. That's the silver donut.
That's really just full of mannequins and poinsettias.
There's a lot of poinsettias.
Seriously, there's like nothing worth stealing here. So bundle up and relive the early 90s joy of Micro Machines. Starting lineup figures, Johnny Carson, 35mm cameras, landline phones, answering machines, pre-9/11 air travel, and Macaulay Culkin. Prepare to have your heartstrings tugged as Kevin, who's been home alone for 3 days, is finally reunited with his family. Then immediately left alone again.
He went shopping.
Yeah, no.
He doesn't know how to tie his shoe. He's going shopping.
Well, that was awkward. Starring Joe Pepsi, Rich Kid, Little Big Pete, Arcade Fire, the dad from Home Alone, Igby Wetzbed, Jasper Beardley, John Cameo, BuzzFeed, The Running Mob, and Space Jam, Home Alone.
All right, let's start the show.
Daniel Palmer, San Antonio, Texas.
Matt Damon!
Stop all the downloading!
It's showtime.
This is Old School at the Movies, episode 75 for March 13th, 2014. Old School at the Movies is brought to you by the brand new TrendingTopicsNetwork.com. Check out some great shows like The Split Decision, Trending Mobile Technology, and The Spanish Announce Table. Welcome back to Old School at the Movies, your one-stop shop for all your movie-related news. I'm your host, Mr. Old School, and before we get to the panel this week, let's get into the contact information. OldSchoolMovies.net is the site where you can listen, download and subscribe to the podcast. If you want to get in touch with us directly, don't be shy. oldschoolmovies2@gmail.com, or you can tweet us at oldmovies.net. That's oldmoviesdotnet. So without further ado, let's introduce the panel for this week. Start off with our Iron Man, Mr. Heavyset.
10-4.
We got Cabo Trek.
I'm not on mute.
And we've got Carp.
Adventure, excitement, a Jedi craves not these things.
All right, let's get into the news.
I'm Bruce Nolan for Eyewitness News. Back to you, fuckers.
Grand Budapest Hotel smashes the live box office. Too many villains and Amazing Spider-Man 2. Mark Webb is not worried. Got a superhero indie trailer called Sparks. Noah has been banned in a bunch of countries. Zorro's reboot lands a new and improved screenwriter. And a restored Texas Chainsaw Massacre returns to theaters this summer. Heavy Set, what would you like to discuss this week?
I really think all these news stories suck, but I will go with the Too Many Villains in Amazing Spider-Man 2.
We're still a couple of months away from seeing The Amazing Spider-Man 2 hit theaters, but while director Mark Webb was down at South by Southwest, he participated in a Q&A where the web-slinging hero came up, and there's a couple of interesting tidbits that the fans would be interested in hearing. First of all, anyone who has seen the countless trailer knows that there's a lot of villains in the sequel, and that something previous superhero franchises actually suffered from, including Sam Raimi's adaptation of the web crawler in Spider-Man 3. But Webb isn't worried about overkill and is confident that they've done it right. When asked about the potential of having too many villains, he responded, "It's about writing. We're aware of those movies and the complaints people had. We were careful to make sure the stories were entertained. You have to make sure to create obstacles that were difficult to overcome. We wanted to make the physical and emotional obstacles difficult. Rhino is in it for 4 minutes. So it's a legitimate comparison, but when you see the movie, I'll be confident that it should be fine." So, Heavy Set, what do you think about this having, you know, checking out the trailers, it does seem like it could be going down that route of Spider-Man 3. But with the director's comments, do you have confidence that this movie will be okay, or do you think it's going to be filled with villains like everybody's afraid?
I have actually faith in this franchise, even though I'm not a big Spider-Man fan. But I have a feeling they know where they want to go with this. And I think with your X-Men series and your Spider-Man series, I think the movie franchises have learned from some of those mistakes. And the too many villains thing, it was like they were trying to compact too much into Spider-Man 3 because they knew there wasn't going to be a sequel. As hard as they were going to try, it wasn't going to work. But this one, I'm expecting them to be planning a much broader, much longer story. So there's so many villains in it, so they can get ready for more movies down the line.
Yeah, I mean, especially with Mark Webb's response, I think it's going to be, you know, I'm looking forward to this movie. Electro was actually one of my favorite characters coming out of the comic book and the original cartoon, so I'm very excited to see him on film. Anybody else want to jump in?
No, this pretty much, to me, it looks like it's leading up to the Sinister Six storylines. So we're eventually going to get Doc Ock and Vulture. I'm just pissed off Electro doesn't have his giant starfish headgear like he does in the comics.
Yeah, I agree. Do you think, though, that it would be kind of tacky, though?
Oh, yeah, it'd be super tacky and over the top.
I couldn't see Jamie Foxx pulling that off either with the star head there. I don't know. Carp, while we have you on the line, what would you like to discuss?
I'm stuck between two, but I'm going to go with the indie trailer dark superhero film Sparks.
Well, I was surprised. I figured you're going Chainsaw. Okay. Let's play the trailer for Sparks and get your thoughts.
New York.
All offices report to 4th and Broadway.
Supers like me have kept this town safe. The year's 1948. I remember that year well. It's the year I met her. And it's the year a serial killer came to my town.
Over 23 people are confirmed dead.
Katanza announced his arrival to the city by killing 11 people that night.
Katanza, one of the most horrific serial killers in our country's history.
Ian!
Oh, hello.
I lost everything that night. It's time to get it all back.
Why don't you meet some friends of mine? They're here to team up with you.
Tell me the truth. Do I have powers?
You're saying you and I, we just haven't figured it out?
What does it take to kill you, Mr. Sparks? Knives? No. Guns? Gravity? Apparently not.
I mean, for an indie trailer, it's actually quite good. I don't think they pull off the 1948 extremely well, but I think that's just because of budgetary issues. But I mean, I'm curious to know what the budget was on this, because It's actually probably the best indie trailer I've ever seen. Let's get your thoughts.
Oh, this looks pretty awesome, actually. I was quite impressed. Well, I'm a fan of generally all superhero films, but the smaller budget stuff like Super and Defendor, I really enjoyed those. This looks like kind of a cross between Defendor and The Spirit, like for budget.
Yeah, I mean, it does have some, yeah, very definitely does look like Spirit. A bit of Sin City, too, I find. Yeah.
I mean, Clancy Brown looking like he's the mentor for the Ian Sparks character. I like that idea, too. And this new up-and-comer, Chase Williamson, I've been wanting to see his film John Dies at the End. So he has potential to maybe be a breakout star from some coming up from something like this, too. So for me, this is definitely a try my best to see it at some point this year.
Anybody else want to discuss? All right, Kebo Trek, what would you like to discuss this week?
I will go with the Grand Budapest Hotel.
This past weekend, Wes Anderson's last studded film, The Grand Budapest Hotel, received a limited release. And while that means only 4 screens were playing the film, it will expand in the coming weeks. It did not stop from smashing box office records. Variety reports that the film picked up $800,000 at the box office, meaning each screen racked in $200,000, and that's enough for the film to become the highest grossing live action limited release debut of all time. The previous record was held by P.T. Anderson's The Master. Kebo Trek, I mean, this is blow away good, especially for 4 screens. I don't think I've ever seen anything close to it. And I think it's a great marketing tool as well to release it on the limited screens, because now it's making the headlines as the largest grossing film. It's going to get a lot of interest, I think, of people who maybe didn't hear of the film. So it's free press for them. Let's get your thoughts.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I don't think this is going to be a movie that's going to be released in 3,000 theaters, anything like that. But, you know, you get that nice word of mouth going early, releasing it in New York and LA, and I, you know, there's no real negatives to it, because if you release it like small and it doesn't do great, it's not that big of a deal. But, you know, you release it small and it gets these kind of numbers, like you said, the publicity is just going to be pretty crazy for it, especially because, I mean, it looks like a friggin' awesome movie. I don't know if you've seen the trailer for it, but
it's not usually my type of film, but it's interesting.
I was trying to think what it was like. I mean, it's quirky, with a lot of cameo, or maybe not cameos, but a lot of stars in it. And I think it's just going to be one of those movies that is super fun to watch.
Probably going to trickle in the money. Going to be like a Greek Wedding, where it's going to make a slow, you know, progression, a small amount week to week.
Yeah, definitely. This is not a movie where we're going to see it opening with $30 million, or even $20 million, I don't think. But it'll have really, really good legs. I'm guessing it's going to skew to an older audience, which also always helps the legs. And I think it's going to be very profitable, because from what I've seen, it probably has a limited budget, even with all the big names in it.
Yeah, probably a lot of them did, you know, they either got a low salary or just did it for free.
Yeah, exactly.
Just breaking news here. Apparently, Terry Crews is on board to play Luke Cage. I mean, that guy's spitting image of Luke Cage. I think it's he's in Brooklyn Nine-Nine, by the way, in a bunch of movies. But it's kind of like the Ashton Kutcher to Steve Jobs. You know, the only thing I fear is that he's not going to pull off the role. But, I mean, anticipation is very good, and it's getting a lot of good buzz. What do you guys think about this?
I love it. It's great. I've been a fan of Terry Crews ever since he was on that Gladiator-type show there. It was like the American Gladiators, except it was like they were wrestlers almost, because they had wrestling personas. And I've liked him since then. So seeing him potentially as Luke Cage, awesome.
I mean, he's been more of a supporting guy. I don't remember him really starring in anything, but this could definitely possibly be his breakout role. He's got the chops, but I don't know if he could pull off a Luke Cage, though. That's a tough thing, but I'm optimistic anyway. So. All right, let's get into the movie review of the week. Carb, 300 on a boat, go.
300, Rise of an Empire. I mean, you couldn't really call it 300 considering the ending of the original 300 killed all the 300.
It looked exactly like the first movie.
It was like a side story that went into a sequel.
Do you call it like 450?
A what?
Let's call it 450.
A 450.
No, call it 450.
Call it 450. No, not quite. Yeah, it's like a side sequel. It starts off as a kind of a side story and becomes a sequel. Eva Green as the main antagonist, amazing job. She was perfect for the role. There's kind of a sex scene between her and the general of the other Greek army where it's like they're trying to dominate each other and she kind of wins in the end. That was really well done. Cinematography was really good again. The level of violence was there for what I was expecting. Some good nudity from the lead actress. And, you know, main antagonist wasn't quite Leonidas, but he thankfully wasn't too much of a jobber. So
did well, too, in the box office. I know we're going to discuss later, but so, yeah, made some coin.
Yeah, it definitely piggybacked well off the last film. I mean, it's been, what, 8 years since 300? So
that long?
I think so. So it has been, for something to actually hold on, yeah, through 2006, so 8 years. And it still held on. It still pulled in quite the money. It's going to obviously make its money back in the end. And it's a big budget popcorn flick. For me, it's 7 Spartan ab packs out of 10.
All right, let's check out the weekend box office for this week. Break it down! All right, Kebo Trek, let's give us the numbers.
Coming in first place, not really surprising, is 300 Rise of the Empire, which debuted with about $45 million.
You surprised at that number, Kev?
No, I mean, it was never going to make what the original 300 did, which is a little over $70 million.
Didn't I say it was going to make 45?
Did you? It won't make as much as the original, but it's done well on the foreign market soon, and I think it will make a profit, so in the end, they'll be happy. Coming in second place with, considering the budget, I would say a disappointing $32 million, is Mr. Peabody and Sherman. When I saw the budget for this movie, I was pretty shocked. Like, I figured if they can keep the budget around $75 to $80 million, they'd show a nice profit. But with a budget of $145 million before advertising and prints, I don't think we'll see this movie making a profit. Coming in third place, we have Nonstop adding $15.8 million, giving it a total of just under $53 million. Continuing to be a beast is the Lego Movie in fourth place, adding just under $11 million, giving it about $225 total. On a $60 million budget, guaranteed sequel, it's already happening, so we're not surprised there. Coming in at fifth place with $10 million is Son of God, giving it a total just under $42. Then we have a big drop-off. I still think it looks like a good movie, but we have The Monuments Men adding about $3 million, giving it just under $71 million on a $70 million budget. I think we'll eventually see this movie make a very small profit, nothing big. Coming in 7th, adding about $3 million as well, is 3 Days to Kill, giving it a total of $25.5 million. Again, in 8th place, adding about $3 million, is Frozen, giving it just under $393 million, which is ridiculous for the movie. And I think we'll see it end up with, I would say, about $400 million domestically, which I don't think anyone thought would happen. Coming in ninth place, partly thanks to the Oscar buzz, is 12 Years a Slave. Added about $2 million to its box office total, giving it about $53 million. And rounding out the top 10 is that beast, Ride Along, adding $2 million, giving it a total of $130 on just a $25 million budget.
Thank you very much, Kevbo Trek. Check out upcoming movies for this week. We got a couple. Medea's, what the hell is it? I'm not playing the trailer for it, but
Tyler Perry's The Single Mom's
Club. So Medea strikes again, I'm sure.
Oh, there's a Kickstarter one coming out this week.
Interesting. We'll definitely get to that one. After this one, I'm going to check this out. Need for Speed.
They took everything from me. I do not fear, for you are with me. All those who defied me shall be ashamed and disgraced. Those who wage war against me shall perish. I
will find strength, find guidance, and I will triumph.
Need for Speed, starring Breaking Bad's Aaron Paul, bitch. I absolutely love this. The trailer sold me right away. I'm very curious to see how Aaron Paul's going to do in an action franchise. They're definitely taking a little bit of a risk, but at the same time, he does have the notoriety due to the great success of Breaking Bad. The same thing. I mean, you've got him and Heisenberg there. So I think this is going to do, calling it now, I think it's going to do around 35 to 40 in opening, but I think it's going to have some legs on this. And I think it's going to do a lot better on the foreign market, just like RoboCop we've seen now. Actually, it's turning a small profit because of the foreign numbers. I think because of the success of the game, it is definitely going to do well on the foreign market. Kebo Trek, let's get your thoughts. Your name.
The trailer completely sold me on this movie. Take note, The Lone Ranger.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. It's like usually I'm not a fan of the Fast and the Furious movies at all. So I don't know if it's because of Aaron Paul or just how amazing the trailer was, but this is definitely a yay for me.
Carp, let's get your thoughts, Yerne.
I'm a most likely, depending if I can catch it with a group of people or not. I can't see myself like catching this alone unless it's a rental at the end. So, you know, big budget popcorn flick.
Absolutely. Heavy set. You into this one?
Not really a Fast and the Furious fan.
Yeah, but this is not Fast and the Furious, man. This is Need for Speed.
Like I said, I'm not a Fast and the Furious fan.
Alright, we know with 3 out of 4 ain't bad. Alright, let's get into the DVD releases for this week. Oh, your Kickstarter one. What's the Kickstarter one, Carp?
Veronica Mars, dude.
Ah, oh, no, fuck that. Alright, let's get into DVDs for this week.
DVD release.
The Book Thief. I've heard about that. What the hell's The Book Thief? I mean, I'm hearing all kinds of buzz about this movie.
World War II.
Ah, Nazis, yeah.
Kind of like low-budget Monuments Men without actual soldiers and stuff, from what I understand.
Okay, instead of stealing a bunch of paintings, they just steal a bunch of
books. Well, no, it's like one kid, a Jewish kid steals a book and he's hiding out from the Nazis or something.
Well, here's, why don't they fucking go on Amazon and get a Kindle, like, problem solved? You don't, like, they don't even need a movie.
It's World War II, so night.
Yeah, Amazon was, yeah, okay. Good point. Homefront. Homefront. Remind me what Homefront is again. Oh, this is Jason Statham. Yeah. This is the Jason Statham. He plays a... this is with Franco as well.
Yeah, Franco is like a redneck meth dealer guy.
Yeah, I remember being kind of interested in seeing this. So it's definitely a rental for me. I checked this out. Inside Llewyn Davis as well got a lot of buzz. Is this like the Being John Malkovich thing?
Yeah, it's about music from what I understand.
Ah, forget it. Okay.
It had a lot of Oscar buzz coming when it first came out, and then just it got no votes whatsoever.
Out of the Furnace, this is a Christian Bale action movie. I thought it was okay. I saw it myself. Wasn't huge into it, but I give, you know, for a rental, I give it a 6.5. It's not, you know, his best performance, but he didn't have a lot to work with in this case, so it was okay. I know you usually interrupt me saying there's some obscure movie, so go ahead, Garp.
Nothing worth it at all this week outside of those. Maybe for those who love absolutely terrible, scary movie, knockoff, / date movie, / movie, The Hungover Games is the only one.
God.
I saw the name, I'm like, oh, that looks terrible, and from what I saw, it looks terrible.
They've got the Starving Games on Netflix.
Oh, yeah, there's a bunch of knockoffs coming out now.
Is that from that other company that did Sharknado there?
Let's see. This is Hungover Games. This is Sony.
Wow.
Sony Pictures. And then the Starving Games, you said?
The Starving Games. That's got to be fucking... What are they called again?
Oh, you're talking about Asylum, but no.
That's got to be Asylum.
A spoof movie that references Hunger Games, Avengers, Sherlock Holmes, and Harry Potter saga.
I fucking hate those. They cost like $5 million. They make $20 million the first week and just drop off. All of them are all the same slapstick bullshit. Oh, yeah, I fucking hate them terrible. So much.
I can't even see the distribution company on the picture.
I'm sure it's that great.
Yeah.
All right. Let's check out Netflix for this week.
This week in Netflix.
We don't got a lot this week. We've got, on the American side, Star Wars The Clone Wars, which is definitely worth checking out. I give it 3.5 stars. Rush, Beyond the Lighted Stage. If you guys are a fan of Rush, listen to their music. It's a documentary following them and all their hits. I really recommend. It's actually Canadian made on the American side, oddly enough. But a fantastic, fantastic documentary on Rush. All right. On the Canadian side.
For Rush, yeah. Would you recommend people go and Rush and see it?
Rush to go see it? Absolutely.
Thank you. I'll be here all weekend. Thank you.
Canada, there's Melancholia. Kirsten Dunst, which is supposed to be pretty cool.
Canada's got World War Z. So, and I know I was shitting on it right away, but apparently I know Gallifrey really enjoyed it. So, I mean, it's not something I would pay for, but you know, if I do have my Netflix subscription, I would definitely check out World War Z. We also get the Clone Wars, and
World War Z wasn't as bad as people made it out to be.
I didn't think
it wasn't a great movie by any means, but it wasn't like the worst movie of the year or something like that.
And they got a bunch of Pokemon stuff as well.
I've heard good things of Meeting Evil. It's Sam Jackson apparently plays the devil or something, I heard.
Sam Jackson's in everything.
Yeah, well, Sam Jackson and Danny Trejo. And when they star in a movie together, the universe will explode.
Absolutely. All right, let's get into the bargain bin.
I'm gonna pop some tags. Only got $20 in my pocket. I'm hunting, looking for a come up. This is fucking awesome.
Carb, what's in the bin for us this week, brother?
Bin this week, The Loved Ones. This is tracking on Rotten Tomatoes at 98% with a fan vote of 75%.
Oh, hold on a sec. I don't think your combined movies and the entire show has equaled up to 98% thus far.
So basically, the Rotten Tomatoes headline. Lola Stone asked Brent Mitchell to the prom, but Brent said no, and now he's screwed. What happens when Lola doesn't get what she wants? She enlists Daddy's help to throw a prom of her own where she is queen and Brent is king, whether he likes it or not. The Loved Ones is what happens when puppy love goes horribly, violently wrong. Brent should have said yes. This is like prom teen movie, like 16 Candles meets Misery meets Hostel.
Oh, shit.
This was fucking amazing. I was really impressed. The girl who plays Lola Stone, the torture chick, I don't know if she like hung out with Jeffrey Dahmer before he died or something, but she played an amazing psychopath. The kid Brent, he played an amazing victim. Like, I don't know how hard it is to play victim, but this guy did a great job at it. Good ending, great supporting cast, kind of like a little bit useless side story, but it actually kind of helps close the circle at one point. So this was really well done. The torture scenes looked well. I mean, I've never seen live action torture scenes, but the torture scenes were really well done as well.
Squibs?
No, it's no squibs. Well, nobody got shot there, but it's practical effect blood and practical effect like violence. Like, she starts off, they tie him down, and she injects bleach into his throat to destroy his voice box so he can't scream.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, it's nuts. And the girl who plays Lola, she is an amazing actress, and I got to check her out some other stuff. Surprisingly, this is an Australian flick, too. And the accents weren't so bad where it took away from the film. It was actually really well done. This is a solid 9 out of 10. 9 psychopathic prom queens out of 10.
Awesome. All right, so quick show this week, but short and sweet. That's okay. We like that sometimes. Closing thoughts, heavy set. Let's get your plugs and final thoughts.
Same old, same old. www.kfootsports.com. Yada, yada, yada.
Yeah, I got to check out that NBC clip of your girlfriend. I haven't seen it yet.
I can put it in the show notes because they did post the full thing.
Yeah, throw it on Skype there. I'll put it in the show notes.
Okay. Awesome.
All right, Carb, let's get your plugs, final thoughts.
StableWars.com. There's a UFC play per view, so pick the winners. And if you do well all year long, you can win a prize as well. Quick little video game shout-out, South Park and the Stick of Truth, frickin' awesome. That's all I'm going to say.
All right, Kev, let's get your final thoughts.
I'm going to actually recommend a couple things today.
What?
One we were talking about just before the show is Arrow on the CW.
Okay.
It's a superhero TV show, and it's everything.
It's Canadian, right?
No, it's American.
I know, I was kidding. It's a throwback.
Is it filmed in Vancouver, though?
Yeah, it is. And it's pretty much everything Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. should be. So you definitely check it out. The other thing I'll quickly mention, seeing as Carp mentioned video games, is Blizzard's Hearthstone is officially out of beta today and fully released. So if you like trading card games, everyone should check that out.
Is it free to play?
Yeah, it's 100% free to play. Super fun, super casual, and definitely suggest checking it out.
I'm going to play. You guys want to play on the weekend?
Yeah, I'm always up for it, so just let me know. We play with some of the other guys, and it's casual fun.
You like playing with other guys?
I play with other guys all the time.
Kevin loves playing with other guys.
All right, so for Kebo Trek, Heavy Set, and Carp, this is Mr. Old School. Thank you very much for listening. The fuck?
What's up? It is Heavy Set, and I'm here to tell you about Kayfabe Sports Radio, the home of the Ohio Indie Report and NFL Easy Picks. On the Ohio Indie Report, I break down what's going on in the Cleveland scene of independent wrestling, from AIW to Prime Wrestling, and some of the little organizations in between that I can attend. And if you also like NFL football, be sure to check out NFL Easy Picks, hosted by myself and my good friend Joe Bennett, as we break down and talk about what is going on in football, and we make our picks on the coming week's games. And all this can be found at www.kfabesports.com. You can also find us on iTunes by searching Kayfabe Sports Radio. And while you're at kfabesports.com, be sure to check out the links for Kayfabe Sports Radio, Ohio Indie Report, and NFL Easy Picks on Facebook and Twitter. So for now, be sure to check out the Ohio Indie Report and NFL Easy Picks on Kayfabe Sports Radio, where it's all a work.
Slamming your brain through a table of wrestling knowledge. The Spanish Announce Table.
TrendingTopicsNetwork.com.
TrendingTopicsNetwork.com. Check out some great shows like The Fight Show Live, Spanish Announce Stuff. Old School, before you get to the panel this week, let's get into the contact information. OldSchoolMovies2@gmail.com is our address, and I fucked it up again. Let's introduce the panel for this week. Start off with our Heavy Set, our Iron Man, Mr. Heavy Set. Grand Budapest. And there's a couple of interesting tidbits. I always say tidbits. I'm like obsessed with fucking tidbits. The main villain is Electro. Fuck off.
Yeah, that's hilarious. My phone just stopped ringing. I think the conversation's going something like, yeah, that's $3 for an HJ, $4 for a DJ, $12 for a ZJ.
And $6 for tidbits.
$6 for tidbits in his tidbit. Bundle.
All right, let's get into the movie review of the week.
I'm Bruce Nolan for Eyewitness.